The views and opinions expressed on my story, Living with Lupus Podcast, represents each person's individual experience. By listening to this podcast or reading our blog, you agree not to use this podcast or blog as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. As always, consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. My Story Living with Lupus Podcast is officially trademarked, all rights reserved. Thank you for joining me for another episode of My Story Living with Lupus Podcast. Today's episode is all about the latest in healthcare news. Hey, a patient was awake for 13 minutes of surgery. Also, a neurosurgeon settles kickbacks. And what about unnecessary spine surgery charges? Or a fired Minnesota nurse is reinstated, and the worst hospitals for unnecessary procedures. That's right. So, you know what I want you to do? All the way from the United States to Serbia. Get ready to grab your cup of coffee, your cup of tea, and to my listeners late at night. Now, you know I appreciate you, so you may want to grab your favorite glass of wine and come on and join the conversation right here on My Story Living with Lupus Podcast. The Charlie E. and Minnie P. Hendrix Foundation for Chronic Illness Awareness, giving hope and empowering those who suffer with chronic illness. See one, reach one, educate one to empower the masses. You can contact the foundation at 313-303-9217 or visit their website at https://cemphfoundation.com. This is a 501c3 organization. No one should live in lack. All contributions are tax deductible. Thank you for joining me, and we're here talking about the latest in healthcare news. But before I get started with that, look, you know, Lipton makes some sweet tea. I'm talking about the Lipton tea bag. Well, they have some called sweet tea, and that's what I'm drinking. I didn't have to put in any honey or anything in it. And let me tell you, Lord, that tea is good. I have to send my sister to the store. Yes, I sent my sister to the store for me to pick me up some, but it is so good. It's Lipton tea, sweet tea. It's in the tea bag. You don't need any honey or anything with it. I like that. It's good. Lord have mercy, it's good. Now, it's the latest in healthcare news. Information is being provided by MedPage. I'm on MedPage today. Patient awake for 13 minutes of surgery. And let me tell you, things like this really happens. And once I get through telling you this story, I'm going to tell you of the story that I have of the same thing that I went through. So let's get started. This happened in Missouri, a Missouri patient. Okay, the case of a Missouri patient who was awake during surgery is making headlines, as it appears that the gas was never turned on, leaving him aware for at least 13 minutes of his procedure. Last summer, Matthew Coswell went into Progress West Hospital in Missouri for a hernia repair and removal of a lipoma on the back of his neck. But he realized early in the procedure that something was wrong. He states, "I knew I was in trouble when I felt the cold iodine hit my belly and they were scrubbing me off. At any second, I was waiting to go out, but all of a sudden, I just got stabbed in my stomach." Caswell's lawyer states to MedPage today that his client had already been given a paralytic agent, and then the mask was put on to receive the anesthesia, general anesthesia. But the gas was never turned on. Now, it remained that way for 13 minutes, with Caswell able to feel pain and hear operating room conversations. During that time, Caswell's vital signs surged. Records shared with MedPage today show a baseline heart rate in the 65 to 70 range, which shot up to 115 beats per minute within a few minutes of the first incision. Caswell's blood pressure also skyrocketed from a baseline of 113 over 73 to 158 over 113. That put him in the range of severe hypertension after the first incision. That should have been more than enough warning for someone in that operating room to see that something was wrong with the anesthetic. Now, the attorney states what he is getting from the story so far is that Caswell was brought into the operating room and given the paralytic agent. Either the anesthesiologist or the anesthetist put the mask for the inhalational anesthetic on him. But then the surgeon wanted to see the lipoma at the back of his neck before starting. So they took the mask off of patient Caswell. They turned him over so the surgeon could see the lipoma. He was then returned to the supine positioning and the mask was put back on, but the gas was never turned on. Now, Let's stop right here. We all know that the anesthesiologist is there to monitor the heart rate and the blood pressure. So my friend, what were you doing during this time where you seen that his blood pressure and heart rate just skyrocketed? Wasn't paying any attention. Okay, let's go on. Now, hospital records include a sufficient event note that acknowledges that a review of the anesthetic record demonstrates a delay in initiating the inhalational anesthetic after induction of the anesthesia. The note indicates that Caswell and his mother were immediately informed regarding the delay in initiating the inhale anesthetic agent until after the start of the surgical procedure. Now, like any business, the hospital is going to cover their behind because they're not looking for a big lawsuit, but it looks like they're going to get one anyway. The hospital provided emotional support and discussed their intentions to ensure his pain and anxiety over the event were well controlled in the immediate term. The hospital also recommended a psychological consult for which they will cover the cause. Now, Caswell charges that he's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and panic attacks because of the experience. Now, let's see who's going to wind up being sued. The anesthesiologist, the nurse anesthetist, the hospital, the anesthesiologist and the nurse anesthetist, employer, you know, but no one was monitoring. And do you think that these individuals would still be unemployed after this lawsuit? Because that's who he's suing. I would be suing also the surgeon because it's on the surgeon too. You could see, you monitor. Now, I have two things I want to say to you. Now, when I have my heart procedures, I'm awoke. I have to be awoke to answer the doctor. And I know who's working on me, my doctor. Yes. And if I don't see him anywhere around, the first thing I'll say to the anesthesiologist, where is doctor? I don't have permission to say his name. So I'm going to say, where is doctor so-and-so? And my doctor say, I'm here right here, Susan. I just had to move away, and I said, okay. Now, the second thing I wanted to tell you, I had a ganglion cyst on my hand. It had become painful and hard for me to use my right hand. So my PCP referred me to a surgeon, went to the surgeon. They perform, let me put it this way. They scheduled the surgery, went into the operating room. They thought they had knocked me out. They had numbed my hand really good. They had numbed it really good. And, you know, I guess they thought that
I was totally knocked out because I had half of my eyes open. And in my head, I kept telling myself, don't you move. Don't you let them know that you're awake. Okay. The music was playing. Yes, they were playing music. And you know, I had told the surgeon, I said, I know this is a teaching facility, but I don't want any inexperienced intern working, trying to remove this cyst off of my hand. Oh, he said, oh no, Susan, I'm gonna do it. I said, okay. This was before when I was in his office for the initial consultation. And so getting back to the operating room in there, he was dancing. I didn't move, didn't say nothing. I kept telling myself, don't you say nothing, don't you bat your eyelids or anything. So the doctor made a move and he said, got up into my face, booga 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 booga. I said, whatever you do, Susan, don't you move, don't you make a fist with your left hand like you're gonna knock him out. Just stay calm. Don't you do anything. So they're talking. And if you don't believe that doctors talk about patients in the operating room, take it from me, because they do. They were talking about another patient. Then they got to me, and he said, oh, she's knocked out. She'll never know who operated on her. And I said to myself, I used some very choice words in my head. I said, you want to bet? I said, when I get off of this table, you're going to find out. So, you know, they finished up with me. They were laughing. The anesthesiologist said, nope, she'll never know. And the intern working on my hand was laughing. And this was done at Harper Hospital in Detroit, Michigan. And if you think I wasn't gonna say your name, I said it. Harper Hospital. And I waited for the follow-up appointment. I went into the office and the doctor came in and said, oh, Susan, you did really well. You did really well during the surgery. And he went on telling me what to do, what not to do. I said, And he said, okay, if you have any problems, make an appointment. And I said, oh, doctor, before you leave, booga, 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 booga. She's knocked out. She'll never know the difference. I said, let me tell you something. Every closed eye that is not sleep. And I said, if you don't think I'm going to report it, you got another thing coming to you. And I reported it. I sure did. I reported the whole thing. And he died after that. A couple of months afterwards, he died because I needed another surgery. And my doctor had seen where he had did a previous surgery on me. And I told him, oh no, I'm not going to him. I said, you refer me to someone, excuse me, that is not affiliated with Harper Hospital. I sure did. And he said, what happened, Susan? And I told him, and he said, well, he's dead now. And I said, well, bless his soul. Can you imagine how many more patients they did that to? When we return, more news coming to you. So stick with me. More with the latest in healthcare news. Now, a neurosurgeon settles kickbacks for unnecessary spine surgery charges. That's right, allegedly. Let me get that out there. Allegedly, a South Dakota neurosurgeon, Wilson Asfora, MD, and his two medical device distribution companies agreed to pay $4.4 million to settle federal allegations around kickbacks and unnecessary procedures, the U.S. Department of Justice stated this week. The settlement resolves false claims. That's right. The settlement resolves False Claims Act allegations related to illegal payments to Asfora for the use of certain medical devices in violation of the anti-kickback statute, as well as claims for medically unnecessary surgeries, the DOJ stated. Does this surprise anybody? As far as companies, Medical Designs and Sickage have agreed to pay an additional $100,000 to settle allegations they failed to report to CMS as far as ownership, interest, and payments made to him. The U.S. filed a complaint against the defendants in 2019 following a suit brought by a pair of whistleblowers. It alleged that Medical Designs and Sickage paid Asfora profit distributions in exchange for his use of their medical devices in his spine surgeries, and that Medical Designs resold other manufacturers' spinal devices and split the profits with Asfora when he used those devices in surgery. It also alleged that Asfora solicited and received kickbacks from Medtronic in exchange for using its Synchromed 2 infusion pumps. The DOJ stated, the pumps are implantable devices used to deliver medication to patients. At Asfora's request, Medtronic allegedly paid the kickbacks to Asfora through a restaurant he owned in the form of lavish meals and alcohol for Asfora and his friends, colleagues, business partners, according to the DOJ. Finally, Asfora allegedly submitted false claims to federal healthcare programs for medically unnecessary procedures using devices in which he had a financial interest. Asfora and his two companies will be excluded from participating in Medicare, Medicaid, and other federal healthcare programs for 6 years under the terms of the settlement agreement. Kickback dollars can corrupt the high quality medical care patients deserve and taxpayers fund. Special Agent Kurt Mueller of the HHS Office of the Inspector General stated in a statement. The U.S. recovered more than $33 million related to this case, the DOJ said. That included a False Claims Act settlement with Samford Health for more than $20 million in October 2019, as well as a False Claim Act and open payment settlement with medical device company Medtronic for more than $9 million in October 2020. DOJ noted that the two whistleblowers who brought the original suit will receive $880,000 settlement proceeds. Lawyers for S4A and his two companies did not immediately respond to requests for comment from MedPage. Now, this is not unusual. It's a well-known fact that some doctors will do this. And the feds will let you hang yourself. They'll go on letting you do it until they have a solid case built up against you. And you'll either get that knock at your office door or at your home, confiscating all of your computers and anything else. There's no better for these doctors that do this. When we return, the last case in the latest in healthcare news. So stick with me. If you would like to appear on an episode of My Story Living with Lupus, you can contact us at mystorylivingwithlupus@gmail.com. Also visit us on our Instagram page and also our website, My Story Living with Lupus. We're going to finish up with the latest in healthcare news, and we're talking about the worst hospitals for unnecessary procedures. Now, this is found in MedPage today from the Loan Institute. And the Loan Institute states that this report is the first to name hospitals with, high rates of overuse. That's right, high rates of overuse. And what was called a first of its kind list, the Loan Institute on Tuesday released the names of the worst 50 and best 50 hospitals ranked by how frequently their patients had any of 12 procedures largely regarded as unnecessary. Now, Loan President Vikas states, for the hospitals with the most overuse, it appears there is a culture. The evidence that these procedures are not useful hasn't penetrated or is being ignored, which they are being ignored. Doctors know what they're doing because it is greed that some doctors, I didn't say all, but some doctors and hospitals go by. For example, for someone who is having a heart attack, a coronary stent is perfectly reasonable. But if someone has very stable angina that they've had for months and months, and it's not changing, a coronary stent is unnecessary. Come on now, full stop. Now, at these lower ranked hospitals, the frequent use of unnecessary procedures is often across the board with cardiology, radiology, orthopedic surgery procedures. It's not one specialty, and it does suggest there's something going on in the atmosphere, greed, or who the doctors are in a given place. Greedy doctors. The Institute looked at fee-for-service Medicare claims data during a three-year period from 2016 to 2018 for 3,180 hospitals that performed at least four of 12 low-value procedures. Now, Henry Regional in Florida is at the bottom of the list with the most instances of overuse. For example, of beneficiaries who came to Henry because they had fainted with no other risk factors, 23% underwent carotid artery imaging, and 75% of them got a head CT or MRI. Is there any surprise in this at all? No. Nationally, the rate of hospitals that perform carotid imaging for patients with that presentation was 7%. Now, the hospital's marketing director, Ms. Waddle, stated the facility is a critical access hospital and shouldn't have been included because only two of the four required types of procedures were performed. However, a lone spokesperson checked with the database and stated the hospital submitted claims for four types of procedures and thus qualified. The second lowest ranked hospital is Larkin Community Hospital, Palm Springs campus in Florida. It reportedly had carotid screening rate of 29% and head imaging rate of 65% and did an electroencephalography EEG for syncope, which is fainting, 17% of the time. Nationwide average of EEG for syncope was 3%, according to lone spokesperson. A Larkin representative did not reply to requests for comment. Besides testing, high rates of hysterectomy were generally more common among hospitals on the lower half of the list. At Larkin, 86% of hysterectomies met criteria for overuse. Lord. At Martin General Hospital in Williamston, North Carolina, which was fifth from the bottom, 95% of hysterectomies were considered overuse. The national average is 64% for hysterectomies. So you mean to tell me people got hysterectomies that really didn't need them? Wow. Now, Memorial Hospital in Florida, Miramar, Florida, to be exact, which was fourth from the bottom, had a rate of 17%. And Children's St. Luke Hospital Memorial in Livingston, Texas, eighth from the bottom, performed the unnecessary procedures in 31 of the cases. The national average of vertoplasty is 6%. That was for vertebroplasty, 6%. Hospitals that were generally judicious in their use of these low-value procedures based on a composite score were also named, with Scott County Hospital in Scott City, Kansas, Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston, topping the list. That has been your roundup in what's going on in the healthcare field weekly news update. Stick with me, and I'll be right back. Before I go, it's a storm headed this way. I'm looking at the sky, and the sky, oh my God, I can't talk today. The sky is cloudy, gray, and turning black. I just want to say to all my mothers out there, from grandmothers all the way down to mothers, happy Mother's Day, people. Love on your mother. I was at the cemetery Wednesday, and I planted flowers for my mama, my daddy, my brother, and my nephew, and I sat out there and I had a conversation with them because I miss them and love them so much. Give your mama a hug while she's here. Give her her flowers while she lives, because I gave mine theirs before God took them back. But have a most peaceful, safe, enjoyable, happy Mother's Day. And to the children, go out there and buy your mama anything she wants. Anything, no matter how much it costs, get it for your mother, because it's nothing like a mother's love, a mother's touch, or just talking to your mama. So do that. You guys have an enjoyable weekend. And like I said, love on your mama. I'll see you guys next week for another episode of My Story, Living with Lupus Podcast. Happy Mother's Day.